Today on The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young.
Kids get hurt. Kids make mistakes. Kids get angry. Kids break down the fence. Kids kick down the gate. Kids go against everything that's sensible and right. But before we can get to them, if we're going to give them a sense of authenticity, we have to get in touch with their feelings. This is a part of giving them an identity.
The truth is, one of the most important responsibilities of every parent is to love their kids. Welcome to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. Today, Dr. Young shares the rest of his message, Thou Shalt Love Your Children, and shows you the difference a loving home will have in the life of a child. Keep listening. The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young begins in a moment. Before we get to today's message, we want to help prepare you for life's greatest challenge and most important calling by sending you Dr. Ed Young's book, The Ten Commandments of Parenting. In words that are clear, simple, and sometimes humorous, Dr. Young draws from decades of counseling and raising his own children to show you how to lay a biblical foundation upon which your family can thrive. We'll send you the Ten Commandments of Parenting as our thanks for your gift to help keep the proven truth of God's Word reaching you and people all over the world through this program. So call today to request your copy when you give. Call 1-800-350-WALK. 1-800-350-9255. We want to help you walk the winning walk with Christ every single day. So we've packed our website with practical resources to help you apply God's proven truth to your life, including books, Bible studies, and audio and video files. You can also sign up for Dr. Young's email devotional and even request personal prayer. So visit winningwalk.org for more of the proven truth and personal support you need. That's winningwalk.org. You can also follow your favorite program on Twitter. Our username is Winning Walk. That's Winning Walk. How has the Winning Walk impacted your life? Share your story with us by going to winningwalk.org/mystory. Now here's Dr. Young with today's message, Thou Shalt Love Your Children, Part 2.
Now in antiquity, circumcision was done all the time for many different reasons. Sometimes it was the foreskin was sacrificed to fertility gods. Sometimes it was a symbol that a part of someone was given that represented the whole. Sometimes it was an initiation into a tribe or an initiation into a nation. But we know exactly what circumcision was in those biblical days. It was a sign of the covenant. God said to Abraham, you be circumcised, and this will be a mark that you are in a covenant relationship with me. And therefore, God's peculiar people, the Jews, were called out to be the redemptive agents for all the world. And Abraham was set aside, and therefore he circumcised Isaac, and he was saying to Isaac, you have an identity. You are a part of a special family, the family of God in a unique way. Parents, we have to give our sons and daughters an identity. And we do that. Someone will be introduced to you and they'll say, well, that's Bill's son. Well, if we know something about Bill, that says a lot, for better or for worse. Oh, that's Mary's daughter. If we know something about Mary, we look at that daughter, and that daughter has to live up to that mom or has to overcome the inheritance that that mom has left behind, right? We put people in categories. We give them an identity. And the important thing, parents, we must give our sons and daughter an identity that gives them a sense of authenticity. Now, what does that mean? A sense that they're real. Now, let me tell you something. Children will break your rules and they will break your heart. Right? Sure. How do we handle it? If we give them a sense of authenticity, we handle it by, first of all, getting in touch with their feelings. Have you ever had your kids say to you, you just don't understand? Red lights ought to go off on your dashboard of your computer and your mind and say, if my son or my daughter doesn't think I understand, it means I haven't listened enough. I haven't gotten in touch with their feelings enough. Now, we have those parental lines. You've made your bed, you've got to lie in it. I know no one has ever said that. Now, you've gotten yourself into this mess, and nothing I can do about it. I know we've never said anything like that. But the bottom line, if we are to give them authenticity, we have to be in touch with their feelings. And the scripture for that is James 1:19. How we need to write that verse on our hearts in every relationship, especially in the relationship with our children. James 1:19, what does it say to us? We are to be quick to listen. We are to be slow to speak. And we are to be slow to get angry, to get mad, and to lose our temper. And most of us are 180 degrees from that scripture. If you're going to give your children a sense of authenticity, that they're real, that they're valuable, that they're precious, you'll listen to them. They'll break your heart, they'll break your rules, but you get in on their feeling. Let me tell you something. What was attractive about Jesus Christ? Was it his teaching on the Sermon on the Mount? To a degree. Was the fact that he could perform miracles? Oh, that's a big deal. But I submit to you the thing that drew people to Jesus Christ was his compassion, was his love, was his kindness, that when people cried, he cried with them. When they celebrated in weddings, he celebrated with them. And that's what we have to do with our children. Doesn't mean we're lenient necessarily, doesn't mean we're overbearing necessarily, but it means before we respond and say, I can fix that, before we respond and say, you were out of bounds, let me tell you what I'm going to do about that. Before we fix anything, before we discipline for anything, before we acquiesce to anything, first of all, we have to get in touch with their feelings, their emotions. Kids get hurt. Kids make mistakes. Kids get angry. Kids break down the fence. Kids kick down the gate. Kids go against everything that's sensible and right. But before we can get to them, if we're going to give them a sense of authenticity, we have to get in touch with their feelings. This is a part of giving them an identity. You see it? And the next thing we have to do in giving this identity to kids, we have to give them a sense of security. You know how we do that? They know we love them unconditionally. You know, I really love you if you make straight A's, or I'm really going to do this for you if you, you know, they meet all of our terms, all I can. They have to know the bottom line is, whatever, I love you, the mother and the father, we love our kids unconditionally. I remember my Aunt Gladys. My mother's four sisters, how they were in competition with one another, and they played those little silly games all of my life. My Aunt Gladys rose above all of that because she loved all of her sisters unconditionally. Jesus Christ taught her that. She'd experienced an overwhelming experience of grace. And she'd walked away from God for years. She came to Christ, and she just had grace and love for everybody. All of us love Gladys. All the sisters love Gladys. She stayed out of the fray. And we had a sense of security with us because we knew she loved us unconditionally. That's the way Jesus Christ loves us, ladies and gentlemen. When we're contrary to the clear teaching of God's word, does Christ come in and blast us and shame us? He comes in with grace and listens, as he did with the woman of the well, as he did with the woman caught in the act of adultery, as he does with you and with me. We don't have to spend a lot of time being blasted for our sins. Periodically, yes, the Holy Spirit convicts and convinces us, and then God comes in Christ and forgives us. We have security in Christ because we know he loves us unconditionally. That gives you kids security. security. Well, if you do this, I'm going to throw you out of the, you do this, I'm telling you, I'm taking you out of my will. If you do, how obscene. If our kids need security, we have to love them unconditionally. Not only do they need authenticity, we get in touch with their feelings, need security, we love them unconditionally, and they understand that and they know that, but also we give them significance. You know how you give your kids significance? And you need it all of your life. When the kids grow up, you need it all of their life. All of us need this. You know how you give significance? You praise. How long has it been you said to your son and daughter, you know, boy, your creativity is just wonderful. You stayed there with little sister, and I know you wanted to go out with your friends. That was a fabulous thing to do. You read the One-Minute Manager. The two authors have a wonderful little phrase in there. They said, your employees catch them doing something right and show appreciation. We're good at catching people doing things that are wrong. That's what you do with your kids. Catch them doing something right and show appreciation. What a difference that would have made in my family. My mother was always looking for something wrong. I mean, dot every I, cross every T, legalism, judgmental. Boy, she'd caught me doing something right one time and expressed appreciation, something that I didn't achieve in, that she applauded about, now you're doing it. Just some little casual thing. See, that's what we need. Catch them doing something right and praise and brag and condemn. Doesn't matter if they pass or fail, that's another issue. You've given them authenticity because you're in touch with their feelings. Remember our first principle? Our first principle we talked about, everybody needs to remember this. Rules without what? Rules without relationship leads to rebellion. See? Rules without a relationship. Some of you are not on a spanking discipline relationship with your son or daughter. You can't discipline them. You shouldn't discipline them because you don't have a relationship there. And this, all of this gives to your sons and daughters an identity. Not only do we give an identity to them as Abraham and Sarah did with circumcision and the family understanding as to who we are and what we're about, you are authentic. You are secure. You are significant. They did it. But the second thing they did is super. They lived an example. You have to live an example. You say, well, how did that work out? Can you imagine how much Abraham and Sarah loved that boy, Isaac? Born to them when dad was 99 years old. You talk about a Ripley's, believe it or not. Can you imagine that longed for, that prayed for, that anticipated son, the promise of God? Boy, how precious that boy was. But one day, Abraham felt impressed by God to offer Isaac as a sacrifice. Boy, my only son, my only begotten son, the son of promise? Yeah, offer him as a sacrifice on Mount Moriah. So Abraham got Isaac, and they started on that long 2 or 3 day trip to Mount Moriah, and they cut down some logs to make an altar, to make a fire, and they carried with them in a little pottery vessel some coals so they could start a fire. And he put all of the wood on the back of Isaac, and they start up the hill to Mount Moriah. And Isaac looked at his father. He'd been to times when his father had sacrificed for sin before. He'd been with his dad. And he said, Dad, we have the wood and we have the fire. Where is the sacrifice? Isaac didn't know he was to be the sacrifice. And Abraham said, God will provide. Isn't that great? God will provide. And he does, doesn't he? Anyway, they got up there and he built the altar and he put the wood down, he put the fire down, and he bound Isaac. Isaac was an older boy now, a teenager, perhaps a young man, and he put him on the altar. And he pulled a knife and would have taken the life of his son. He loved so much, but God stayed his hand and said, Abraham, I was just testing you. I was just testing you to see if I really have first place in your life. Isn't that great? And then there was a ram over in the bushes, and God provided a ram, and the ram was offered as a sacrifice, and he took Isaac from off the altar. Do you think Isaac ever forgot that experience? What did Isaac learn from that? God has the highest priority in my father and mother's life, even over their unconditional love for me. He lived an example. And the third thing, if we are to really love our children, we not only have to give them an identity, not only do we have to live an example, but we have to leave a legacy. Well, the truth is, we all leave a legacy. You take Abraham and his nephew Lot. They were herdsmen together, and they became wealthy together. And Abraham and Lot, they got so wealthy, their herds were so large that they realized they had to divide their herds up. They couldn't move together and develop the sheep and the goat and the camel and all the herds that they had. And so Abraham went to Lot and said, Lot, you pick out where you want to have your land and run your cattle and run your sheep and run your goat. And, you know, Lot wasn't dumb. He looked around and says, well, now, by the way, Abraham should have had first choice. He was the senior. He said, well, I'll take the place down by the Jordan River. If you've ever been to Israel, that's where the trees are. That's where the water is. That's where it's fertile land down by the Jordan Valley. Now, moving up in the mountains, up there in the Mount of Wilderness Temptation and Zin, that sort of barren country, right down the Jordan. So Lot took all of his sheep down by the Jordan. The Bible says that he pitched his tent towards Sodom. And then you read a little further, it says Lot moved outside of Sodom. And you read on another chapter or two, it says Lot and his family pitched their tent in Sodom. They moved into Sodom, and guess what happened? Sodom moved into them. That's the way it works, ladies and gentlemen. You move into Sodom and say, I'm going to be God-fearing, but you stay around Sodom, Sodom will move into you. It'll move into me. And you know the Bible at all. You know the disastrous results for Lot and his wife and his daughters. Unbelievable, unseemly, ungodly. And that was the legacy that Lot left. What about Abraham? You read these passages in Genesis, take your magic mark and underline how many times you read the phrase, Abraham pitched his tent and he built his altar. He pitched his tent and he built an altar. He pitched his tent and he built an altar. You know what we do? We build our tent, our houses, our lands, our possessions, all the things, and we just pitch our altar. He built his altar. And he pitched his tent. In other words, he knew he was moving through. He knew he was a sojourner. He knew this life was brief. And wherever he went, he just pitched his tent. But he built an altar. That is leaving a legacy for your children. And that imaginary funeral service, they would walk up there, and whatever they would say, my mom and my dad, they left me this kind of legacy. Jerry Clower from Yazoo City, Mississippi, graduated to be with God a few years ago. He stood up once and he said this in his bucolic country western way. Jerry said, every son and every daughter ought to be able to stand up and say flat-footed, my pappy was a godly man. I like that. That's a legacy. My mother, my pappy was a godly land. That's when you leave a legacy. But there are different types of legacies. Several years ago, a team of sociologists in New York did a study encompassing almost 200 years, and they picked out two contemporary families there in the 18th century, They were contemporary, and they traced all of their descendants as far as they could. One of these families, they looked at over 1,200 of his descendants, and to see if there's anything to the fact that a legacy is indeed passed on from generation to generation, whether it is plus or whether it is minus. The truth is, we all pass on legacies. We know that. You bring up a son or a daughter in a home that is filled with criticism, guess what happens? They turn out to be negative people. You bring up a son and daughter in which there is conflict, guess what happens? They grow up to be angry people. You bring up a son and daughter into a family where there is kindness and tenderness, guess what happens? They look at the whole world as a pleasant place. And we could just recite chapter and verse and chapter and verse and chapter and verse and chapter and verse and chapter and verse, and on we go. But these sociologists did a study of two families. One family was named the Max Jukes family. And Max Jukes was an atheist. His wife was agnostic. They were tough-minded, mean-spirited, vicious people. And they traced over 1,200 of their descendants, these sociologists, over almost a couple of hundred years. And this is what they found. 440 lives of outright debauchery, 310 paupers and vagrants, 190 public prostitutes, 130 convicted criminals, over 100 alcoholics, over 100 habitual thieves, 55 victims of sexually transmitted disease, and 7 murderers. The study that I read, and you can debate with these studies, said that they did not find a single one of the 1,200 descendants of Max Jukes and his wife who made any positive contribution to society over a period of almost 200 years. A contemporary of Max Jukes was a man by the name of Jonathan Edwards. Jonathan Edwards was a pastor and a missionary, the president of Princeton University, and arguably the most brilliant man America has ever produced. He and his wife, Sarah, passed on a godly, godly legacy, and as they traced the generations of Jonathan Edwards, this is what they discovered. Over 300 clergymen, missionary, or theological professors, over 120 college professors, over 110 lawyers, over 60 physicians, over 60 authors of good books, 30 judges, 14 presidents of universities, numerous giants in American industry, 3 U.S. congressmen, 1 vice president of the United States. What kind of legacy will you leave?
You've been listening to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. We hope today's message has encouraged you with the proven truth of God's Word. And we'd love to encourage you with a resource filled with proven truth to help you parent God's way. It's Dr. Young's book, The 10 Commandments of Parenting, and he wrote it to help you lay a biblical foundation for life's greatest challenge and most important calling so you can raise up the next generation of children to be disciples who spread the kingdom of God. You'll discover that there are no quick fixes to the tough task of parenting. God's Word has the blueprint you need to build a Christ-centered home. So call now to request the 10 Commandments of Parenting as our thanks for your gift to reach more people with the proven truth of God's Word. Call 1-800-350-WALK, 1-800-350-9255. Thanks for being with us today on The Winning Walk. Listen in tomorrow as Dr. Young shares proven truth from God's Word about how you can be the kind of person who children look up to.